Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to BTR Boxing Podcast Network. I am your host, Sean, joined as always by Jamie for this big fight reaction show. So the weekend's action, we had the Magnificent Seven in Birmingham. We had Williams Zepeda dismantling Maxi Hughes. And we're going to be talking about some of those fights that we've witnessed over this weekend. Some of the moments, some of the thrills, the spills, the deflation moments of what we see in boxing sometimes. There's certainly some talk around certain fighters who didn't necessarily perform this weekend. But Jamie, let's bring you straight into the show. Welcome, as always. It is another weekend of talking about the sport, and it is another opportunity to give our opinions and our thoughts and feelings on some of the good, the bad and the ugly.
Hello, everyone. Nice to see you, Sean. As always, thank you for the welcome, and I'm quite happy because although I weren't spot on with my prediction, I think I said 6-7 rounds, I was very, very happy to, not because of Maxi Hughes, though, you know, I didn't want Maxi Hughes to win, but, you know, I'm that bad with prediction nowadays. It's nice to get one right occasionally, and Zepeda is an exciting force, isn't he? Probably throwing up about 100 punches a round. Yeah, I mean, and that body attack, he's the archetypal Mexican, isn't he? It was absolutely fantastic to watch, albeit painful for Maxi Hughes and the Yorkshire faithful.
It was painful for them to watch, and it must have been very painful for Maxi Hughes, of course, who at times sustained some fantastic bodywork and body shots from William Zepeda. He started out all right, Maxi, in that first round, and he looked to be taking centre ring and staying centre ring with Zepeda, but it didn't last very long. Once the second round came upon him, that's when Zepeda's work rate seemed to increase tenfold, and the shots were just flying in from all angles. The body work was fantastic. He clearly had done his homework and looking at targeting that body, and from that second round up until the end of the fourth, when the fight was called off by the corner, you could see that Max is then starting to take that back step constantly throughout the rounds. The bodywork was wearing him down. He switch hit at times as well. He was switching from head to body, Zepeda. And he looked really, really good in the fight. And Maxi, for all intents and purposes, was just outgunned and outclassed in this particular fight. For me, Zepeda is a talented fighter. Limitations-wise, I think he is an archetypal Mexican fighter, and I think that could limit him in the big fights. And you think of the likes of Shakur Stevenson, who I think had happily look at taking a fight like this against Zepeda, because I think he'd look at that style that Zepeda's got and believe that he can use his skills to completely negate what he's got. But he is an exciting fighter. He's now 30-0 in the lightweight division, which, as we know, is a very competitive division. And I think with that being another win and another good name on his resume for Cepeda, surely now he's got to be looking at the potential of these bigger fights in the division. He could look at the Kambosos fight because, of course, Kambosos beat Maxi Hughes in their previous outing and took the IBO title. So maybe Cepeda, to get a bit more weight behind his argument for having a big fight, could maybe target a Kambosos fight, which would be, I think it'd be a really, really interesting fight and a good fight. And it probably would be like a fight in a phone box because I think Kambosos would like that kind of a fight against Cepeda. So that'd be an interesting fight if that was to take place. However, I also think Cepeda's probably at a point as well where he's one of the standout fighters in the division who isn't named Gervonta Davis, Shakur Stevenson, or Vasily Lomachenko. So moving forward in his career after this win, what does Cepeda have to do next, Jamie?
I think a Shakur Stevenson fight would be, I think that would be an attractive, definitely an attractive spectacle. Not from the point of view of Shakur Stevenson, he's hardly the most entertaining. But, you know, using that term, we tend to in an episode, don't we? We use the same term multiple times, but archetypal, again, you know, it's the archetypal Bull versus Matador fight. Sort of like modern day, maybe Roberto Duran's pushing it a little bit, but modern day Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard sort of fight, you know what I mean? Where you've got the man coming forward, he's not afraid to just, he's not afraid to come forward and just hammer his opponent. And then you've got Shakur there, the old Matador. You know, can he sweep the ball to the side? And I think Shakur Stevenson, as you said, he would like that sort of fight. You know what I mean? He's got that defensive nous. And I think he just enjoys trying to pot shot Cepeda. You know, use the jab. Maybe turn it into a bit of a ball fest, smother all that work. But as I said about Cepeda, before the fight with Maxi Hughes, all right, Maxi Hughes isn't at the same level as Shakur Stevenson. Cepeda just throws that many punches. It'd be very, very difficult, I think, to smother his work, no matter who you are, whether you're Shakur Stevenson, Gervonta Davis, et al. I think, you know, the volume's scary, isn't it, from Cepeda? And I love a body puncher. I'm sure you're a big fan of body punches as well, Sean. You know, we've grown up in Manchester there and seeing Ricky Hatton and what he could do to the body. And the fact that Cepeda's making him look a bit foolish with the body shots, you know, it's, any fight is an exciting prospect with a sort of terrifying body puncher and a man who can punch. So, yeah, I'd like to see the Shakur Stevenson fight. Obviously, Gervonta Davis is sort of, he is tied up. He defends against Frank Martin, who himself is undefeated, 17-0 in his next fight in June. So, that's not going to be a prospect. So, yeah, let's get Shakur Stevenson's name on some paper and just, you know, maybe Jenga the stacked lightweight division. Let's see if we can knock it down a little bit.
So just a little note on Maxi Hughes then, Jamie. He's took the seventh loss of his career, albeit that seventh loss and that fact that he's lost seven fights doesn't really reflect his career as of the last few years because he has done really, really well and he has had that overachieving few fights, hasn't he? I think this point in time, though, at the age of 34, having been in the ring with the names that he has been in the ring with recently, the Kamboses and the Cepedas of the world, can you really see him getting another opportunity at the big stage at this point? I can't, but I'm interested to know what you think and what you think he would essentially have to do next in his career if he's to stick around in the sport.
There's always a place for a fighter like Maxi Hughes. Now he's at the taste of the stardom, you know. The place would be, and you know, it's a sad place, really. You see Brits doing it. John Ryder was going to become that sort of person, but you know, someone somewhat of a gatekeeper. I mean, he's shown that he does sort of belong at this level, somewhat with George Kambosos. So, you know, if he wanted to stay in the mix, he could become a bit of a gatekeeper type. Let's see if he can get him out of there quicker than William Cepeda. But 34, I'd like him to just sit back and enjoy. I mean, he wouldn't have made millions, but he's certainly doing a lot better than most Yorkshiremen, I would imagine. So just sit back and enjoy it, really. You've got nothing to prove. You've overachieved, as you've mentioned. you know, he's beaten some decent fighters, hasn't he? He's been in with the likes of John O'Carroll domestically. He's beaten Kid Galahad, who's a former world champion. There's a lot of people that said he beat George Kambosos. You know, he's got a lot of memories there. And memories that, you know, if you carry on taking shots in the ring, he might not be able to remember, you know, later on in his life. So, yeah, I'd just like to see him maybe sit back. Like you, I don't think he needs to carry on.
Well, let's move on to the Magnificent Seven show in Birmingham. And we were quite excited about this particular show, good matchups on it. And it did turn out to be a decent show, actually. I enjoyed quite a few of the fights on this card watching it. In particular, the British title fight was the one which we always talk about. But myself and you, Jamie, we love the British title fights, and we love sort of talking about some of the best ones we've seen as our time in boxing. And this one between Nathan Heaney and Brad Paws, I felt, provided us with another moment in British boxing where we get to see two guys throwing it all on the line and a tale of two halves, I would say, in this particular bout, which ended up being a split decision draw, with one judge seeing Heaney the winner and one judge seeing Paws the winner very, very slightly. And then the third judge goes 114-114 and scores it a draw. People are complaining that Brad Paws should have got the win. People are saying Nathan Heaney did enough to win the fight. People are saying Nathan Heaney spat his gum shield out too many times. It's not the type of result that I would suggest is a robbery. I wouldn't look at this fight and say, oh, one fighter definitively won this fight over the other one. But what I will say is that when I watched the fight back, I actually, for one of the only times in doing this podcast over the years, I can actually say that I do believe this fight was a draw. Like, I look back on this fight and I saw the early work from Nathan Heaney, and then I saw Brad Paws start to come into it later on. And yes, he rocked Heaney on a number of occasions, but just because he rocked him, it doesn't necessarily mean that was enough to have won that round in the eyes of the judges. So I think when they scored the fight as close as 115-114 to Paws and then 114-114 a draw, and if that third judge, the other judge who scored it 116-130, if he would have scored it 115-114 to Nathan Heaney, I probably wouldn't have had any complaints whatsoever, because I think the scoring between two of the judges was near enough spot on for me. I think the 114-114 card, I can totally agree with. 115-114, I can probably agree with either way. So for me, it was one of those fights that I would say, it's not a robbery, it's what you like. And if you're adjudicating this fight and you're judging this fight and you watch it without any emotional bias towards any fighter and you're objective about the way you score a fight, you probably could have scored it to either fighter. Quite easily scored it to either fighter. I'm interested to hear your take, Jamie, because we've not really conversed fully over what we both think of what happened in this fight and how it went down. So I'm interested to hear what you've got to say about it. I think a draw was a fair result, personally, and I'd like to see it again, because it wasn't a definitive win for either man, in my eyes, and it's certainly one that I could see again, because I certainly think they're both capable of beating one another.
I had Nathan Heaney. I had him winning 115-113. So, you know, that might be a bit controversial to the listeners. But I don't know, I just think he's very much like, he's got Joe Joyce syndrome, you know what I mean? He doesn't look great, but he's effective. And I think, you know, his jab is great at just keeping, you know, he's a bit of a ramrod, great at keeping opponents off. And I think, you know, he just really dug deep at times. And I think, yeah, he was rocked a couple of times by Paws, but I don't know, I think he had the more sort of telling work. And I'm not letting my heart sort of rule my head there, because I am a fan of Heaney, because as I mentioned on the last podcast, that I used to know his dad, Joe. I had quite an affection for Joe as well. He sadly passed away. But no, I like Heaney's style. He's very sort of traditional looking. There's nothing sort of flash about him, but I think he does the basics very well. And in a British title fight, you know, especially when it gets grueling, that's what I like to see. I like to see, you know, fighters just take it back to basics a little bit, get behind the jab, get behind the boxing, and that's what scores for me. You know, and he's an incredibly, well, both of them, very incredibly fit fighters. And just another perfect example. Again, I just want to give a shout out to the British title. Why these are not, you know, why these fights are not on more mainstream platforms, I just don't know. You know, I think the BBC, ITV, I know Channel 5 do it. They should be buying into these fights because they're the ones that produce the absolute Bobby Dazzlers. You know what I mean? And the weekend saw another example of that. But yeah, I just felt like Haney was taking it back to basics a lot more. And I think at times, you know, that was more telling for me. I liked the little sort of flip he did as well when he fell. He fell over, didn't he? And, you know, he showed he had enough energy. I think it was in the final round to do like a little jump up. And that's amazing. I mean, a lot of his energy must be taken out by the ring walk. I'd be knackered by the time I got in the ring if I was Nathan Haney. So, yeah, very, very impressive. I'd keep him away from the big boys of the division. And maybe can comment about the amount of tickets that he can shift. He shifted 2,000 on the night. I think Uncle Frank Warren, I think he's going to be doing the old faithful of just keeping Haney protected while he's making the money. You know what I mean? Because that's some serious though. 2,000... They're packing the place out. They're giving you atmosphere, and you know it's going into Frank's pocket. I had mentioned today or yesterday, I think it was, on a podcast that you're looking at maybe approximately $500,000 a fight every time Nathan Haney fights, just on tickets from we keep calling him Haney, don't we?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sorry, Nathan Haney. That's some serious money. You know, that's paying the undercard fighters for Frank Warren, so... He's not going to be in a rush to put him in jeopardy, not when he's making that kind of dog.
No, he's not. But there's going to come a point where he isn't going to be able to keep him away from certain fights and certain fighters, especially if he keeps him fighting for the British title and he keeps him defending the British title and he keeps looking at challengers. Eventually, the board are going to order a certain mandatory contender to fight for that British title, and that contender might be just good enough to topple Nathan Haney, and that $500,000 a fight because of the ticket sales that he gets is going to go down the swanny a little bit for Mr. Warren. But whilst I think he's got him under his wing, like you say, I do think he will continue to keep him protected, manoeuvred in a certain way. I'm not going to make the comparison to Hatton, but I am in the sense of he was very much a really big ticket seller. And you think about Hatton's career and how he was kept away, not of his own choice, but he was kept away from certain fighters for quite some time before he got stepped up to that big level to fight Costa Zero. I felt like he was just manoeuvred all the time into positions fighting guys that were ex-world champions that were at one point or another in the prime when he was literally ready to go and probably take on the likes of Kostas who in 2003 instead of 2005. So I think when I'm making the comparison to Hatton, what I'm saying is with Frank Warren, when he has a fighter like that, who he feels he can take as much as possible out of before he steps them up to that level, he's going to continue to do so. With someone like Nathan Heaney, if he continues to keep getting results in the ring, his fan base are going to continue to keep following him everywhere he goes. And at the age of 34, we don't really know how long he has left in this sport at the top level, at the peak level, and whether he is any better than British title level, whether he can go further than British title level. That, of course, all remains to be seen as yet. I think it'll be a fight which we'll see again, because I do think it was a fight which will warrant a rematch. Like I say, I don't think it was a robbery. I think it was a fight that could have been easily scored to both men on the night, on any given night. So I think a logical step would be to see the rematch between one another, because people will want to see it. They want to see if Brad Paulus can capitalise on the moments he could have stopped Nathan Heaney, or whether Nathan Heaney can get better as a fighter and actually overcome Brad Paulus. So yeah, I'd like to see that again. I'd love to see that again. In fact, I think that'd be a really, really good fight. And just a bit of a side note as to what you said earlier, Jamie, about mainstream television channels picking fights like this up. And I just think that, unfortunately, we're in an age now where we're never going to get to see this very often anymore. Like you say, Channel 5 do pick up a few British title fights if they're promoted by Wasserman Boxing, but any of the guys that are with Frank Warren or Eddie Hearn or Ben Shalom, they're all contracted, obviously, to their respective deals on DAZN or on Sky or on TNT Sports. So it is a shame. We're probably not going to get to see these on terrestrial tele. However, the fact that we're getting to see these fights happen is good, because I enjoy watching British title fights, and everybody enjoyed watching that one. There was a lot of positivity around that fight and the way it went down in general. Obviously not so much for some people, because they felt like a certain fighter won the fight, but I'm really looking forward to seeing whether they will make this one happen again, because it was a really interesting fight, and it did deliver. It did. I thought it was one of the fights that delivered for me on the night. What about you then, Jamie? Just a final thought on this before we move on to some of the other fights on this card.
I just think it's great. It's just great to see the British title in the limelight, and I'm going on with myself a little bit about it, but, you know, just the razzmatazz and hearing Tom Jones, you know, who's one of the old crooners that I still think can carry a tune, you know. It's never going to get boring to me, that, because it does elicit memories of Ricky Hatton. You know, you mentioned Ricky Hatton there. I was only fortunate enough to go to one fight of Ricky's, and it was absolutely mesmerising, just the noise. The only comparison I can make, I went to Frotch and Groves 2 at Wembley. I think that was a sporting crowd as opposed to a boxing crowd. So I wouldn't... That was probably the best atmosphere, just on sheer volume of people. But a Carl Frampton fight, I went to Carl Frampton against Chris Avalos in Belfast, and that was on the same sort of level in terms of noise and atmosphere and everything like that. And it does, it makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. And when you're seeing that on the TV and still getting that sort of reaction, you know, when you're seeing Nathan Heaney come out there and just hearing the crowd, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. It's reminding me why I do love this sport, because there's a lot of times where, you know, as a boxing fan, you get a little bit jaded because you're like, oh, you know, things happening sort of grassroots level. Yeah, we're constantly looking for the big fights, but, you know, just to see how much the British title means to people at sort of grassroots level is something to see, and that's my final thought on that. And you're probably going to hear me say it again in a few months' time, perhaps, but it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Totally agree. We'll move on then to some of the other fights on this particular card. Liam Davis getting the vacant IBO World Super Bantamweight title by stopping his opponent, Eric Robles Ayala. And again, he was another one like Zepeda, who we talked about a little bit earlier. He came out and he was quite relentless from the off, and he just didn't back down whatsoever, eventually stopping Ayala in two rounds. That's a really big win. It's a really big win and a really big step for him in his career, I think. And I talked about this in the preview, how he'd beaten the likes of Mark Leach and Jason Cunningham in one round and some big wins. He got off the floor against Vincenzo Lefamina in his last fight, come off the floor and went and stopped him. To do this again, he's just looking like a fighter to be really keeping an eye on now. He's an IBO world champion. He's now 16 and up. You look at the super bantamweight division in general, and you look at some of the names that are around there at the moment, and you think to yourself, you know, there's some prospects here for him at this stage of his career. I think he's ready to be moved forward, I think, in his career. I think when you look at the rankings, he's sort of put there in sort of the top 15 in the world, but I think I'd like to see him now move forward. I think he's capable of sort of stepping up at this stage of his career. And I think I'd like to see those fights now with the likes of TJ Dhoni, who's an experienced fighter, of course, at 37 years old. And, you know, you think of the likes of Marlon Tapalas, who fought Naoya Inoue, and all those guys around there. You've got even got Akhmed Aliyev as well at 12-1. I mean, these are some absolutely brilliant, brilliant fighters that sort of head up the rankings. I think if Liam Davies is going to move on in his career, being an IBO champion as well, I think he needs to start pushing on. And I know the commentary focused a lot on that on TNT Sports, and they said the same things, really. They were talking about, they reckon him becoming an IBO champion puts him right in prime position to be fighting some of those names. Based on that performance, based on his recent form, the fact he's a world champion now of sorts, is he ready for a step up yet, or is it too soon?
No, I'm going to go back to Uncle Frank, and I'm going to go back to Ricky Hatton. Very Ricky Hatton focused now. But I think this is perfect prime real estate for Frank Warren, the IBO title, the World Boxing Union title that he used to hold so dear to his heart. That's no longer about anymore. And I can see Frank just, like, you're not. It doesn't matter how terrifying you look on a domestic level, you're not going to be beating the likes of Inoue. Oh yeah, that Inoue is absolutely elite. So, you know, this is where Frank shows his absolute mastery in, you know, right place, right time sort of promotion. I think he needs to maybe stock up Liam Davies with a few defenses of that IBO belt and just see whether the rot, any sort of rot starts to set in with the younger Inoue. I mean, he's not young now, is he? But, you know, there might come a time where it looks to be the perfect opportunity. Keep that IBO belt from gathering dust. And we've shown, you know, boxing has shown recently that activity is a beautiful thing. The likes of Joseph Parker, you know, if you stay active, then you're more likely to, when you get your shots, you're more likely to be successful. So keep Liam Davies active with that IBO belt. You didn't mention as well, he had a win, Liam Davies over Ionut Baluta. Now, that is a quite impressive win when you consider that Dennis McCann, another fighter on the card, he got a draw with him, you know, and Dennis McCann's being raved about by all sorts of people. So it really does show sort of the trajectory of Liam Davies and how talented he is. If I was promoting him, again, I would just think, well, you've got that IBO belt, let's make a few quid off it. And just see whether we can slot in when one of the champions that are elite level get a little bit tired. It's a bit cynical of me, but I think that is the way forward. You know, it didn't do Ricky Hatton any harm, did it? So, yeah, that's what I'd like to see done with Liam Davies.
There's a big potential, really, that Frank could match Dennis McCann up against Liam Davies, though, isn't there? With Dennis McCann getting that win over Brad Strand and picking up the vacant British title in the super bantamweight division. He also got the Commonwealth title and then, of course, the WBO Intercontinental Super Bantam. With him having those accolades against his name now, with him having a really good win against Brad Strand, with him being on a similar career trajectory as Liam Davies, with Liam Davies having an IBO championship, I can kind of see the writing on the wall a little bit, aside from the bigger names for Liam Davies. I think both being promoted by Frank, it's an easy fight, surely, to make. Both in the same division, both hold titles, both hold accolades, both at a similar stage of their careers. Surely that's a money-making fight for Frank on one of his shows, Jamie?
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't really mention it, to be honest. But again, I think, you know, he really holds Dennis McCann in high regard as well, doesn't he? And I think he'll try and I mean, we have seen it before. You know, De Gea and Groves, for example, he's not afraid of matching his prospects. But I think Dennis McCann, you know, just on the eye test, Liam Davis is doing well. You know, he's knocking out sort of all and sundry at the moment. But I really like the look of McCann. I think he looks special. You know, there were times against Brad Strand where, you know, McCann was looking a little bit, I thought he looked quite special, you know what I mean? He was rocking Strand, just showing levels. So, I don't know, he might just want to keep them away from each other, just let them make money in their own right. And then, you know, if that world title, the true world title shot comes along, maybe put them together down the line.
They'd make money, definitely make money for the pair of them. We'll see. We'll see how it pans out. I can see that being a fight down the line that definitely starts to build. And like Frank does, he likes to marinate fights. I love the word marinate because it just reminds me of Bob Arum and Frank Warren in particular, how they love to marinate certain fights and certain fighters that they promote. And I think Davis and McCann are two of them, which I think Frank Warren's probably going to look at potentially down the line. Of course, Dennis McCann, like you said, got that victory on points over Brad Strand, looking really good throughout the cutout fight as well. Just a little side note then to some of the other fights on the card before I bring another talking point up, Jamie. Zach Parker against Tyrone Zeuger. Of course, Zach Parker was looking to get the win. He did by a unanimous decision against Zeuger. Good win for him, good win back, and he certainly needed to get back to winning ways. Pierce O'Leary got a really, really big win as well over Hovhannes Martossian, which was another great performance from Pierce O'Leary as he continues to move his way through that super lightweight division. But the talking point really that I wanted to bring up with yourself, Jamie, for this episode was Joe Joyce, because we focused a lot on where Joe Joyce is at now in his career after losing back-to-back fights to Zile Zhang, fighting Cash Alley, who, whilst he's got an accomplished resume, he hasn't had any major fights under his belt in the past, maybe barring the David Price fight, of course. But facing Joe Joyce was really a measuring stick to see where Joyce was at. And I'll be honest with you, I really wasn't impressed. Maybe I'd looked at him previously through tainted eyes, biased eyes. Maybe I'd got a bit bought up in the hype that, you know, people weren't going to be able to sort of shift him so easily. And I think when Zhang did what he did and he's put him out, that aura of invincibility is completely gone. And I think what we saw in this fight with Cash Alley is that, again, although Alley was landing on him quite continuously with overhand rights over the top, Joyce, yeah, they were bouncing off his head. But let's be honest, he isn't going to be able to get away with that again. So why he's still defending punches like that with his head and his face without having his guard up and his gloves up is still beyond me. Yes, he's effective at what he does. Yes, he breaks down fighters. It took him till the end of the fight to be able to break down Cash Alley, of course. He did do some good body work. I will give him credit there because there was some good body work and shots that went through out the course of the round that broke down Cash Alley. But for me, it was just another case of he's taking too many punches. As soon as he steps up to that level again where he's fighting big punches, I think he's going to get done again. I genuinely do. After seeing the fights with Zhang and what Zhang did to him, and I mentioned the David Price comparison, didn't I, last week?
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I think when he gets to another fight against somebody now, I think he's not going to get away with it again. And I also think he's in a bit of a who needs me club at the moment, because with everybody in the position where they're in the heavyweight division, really, there's no logical fights out there for Joe. Like, Joseph Parker, why is he going to want to step back and take a fight against a guy who's lost back-to-back and then got this win over Cash Alley? Why is he going to want to do that when he's just had two massive wins in his career? Why is Daniel Dubois going to want to take that fight after he's just had a win over Jarrell Miller? Why is he going to want to do that and run that one back? Because I don't see the value in that. So, for me, where does Joyce go at this moment in time? And what did you think of his performance, Jamie?
It was very, very laboured. I wasn't impressed at all. I was like you. I just think he just doesn't Do you know what I mean? This was a time where, you know, learn something new. And they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but this was a man who won a silver medal at the Olympics. Arguably, he should have won gold. I had him winning the gold against Tony Yoka. You know, he should be more adept at, you know, switching things up a little bit, but he wasn't. And let's face it, the only reason Cash Ali lost that fight, he was knackered. We were going back to sort of reverted to type for Joe Joyce. You know, he just wore him down. He did the Homer Simpson strategy again, didn't he? Just let's get punched in the head until my opponent gets really, really tired, and then I'll just push him over. And it just wasn't, you know, this was a man as well. Joyce had a 3-stone weight advantage over Cash Ali, and it still took him 10 rounds. Do you know what I mean? So I don't really think there is anywhere that Joyce can go, as you mentioned. It was entertaining because you thought he was a Terminator, but I've never really been a massive lover of his boxing skills, so to speak. Just the fact that I thought the man had a head made of diamond, and obviously the diamond cutter was Zile Zhang, and now that myth's gone. It's a bit like Mike Tyson back in the day. I mean, I was around. I was like a month old when Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas. But I can imagine that with my critical eye, I wouldn't have been as interested in watching Mike Tyson after that loss to Douglas, because it's like, well, we've seen exactly what he can do. We've seen how terrifying he is, but we've also seen his shortcomings. And now, unless you're going to show me something different, which Joe Joyce doesn't seem to be able to do, he's not going to be a fancy Dan, is he? He's not going to get behind the jab and show a little bit of technical savvy. I'm not really interested. You're not showing me anything new. And like you said, when you get up to that world level, you're going to get found out again. So no, thank you, Joe Joyce. I think it's time to call time on a career. And maybe you'd be a great coach. You tend to find that attacking fighters turn out to be quite defensive in their outlook. Maybe he'd be a good defensive coach, you know what I mean? But he's another one. Just get out while you can. I don't want Maxie Hughes carrying on boxing, really. Because, yeah, you've had your big nights. Why risk your health? You know what I mean? He's, there's nothing there for me. I wasn't interested in the fight going in. I'm not interested in the career trajectory going out. So, goodbye, Joe Joyce.
Well, only time will tell, Jamie, as to whether Joe Joyce will get another big fight. And of course, if he does, we will be covering it and we'll talk about it a little bit more if that time comes. But in the meantime, just rounding up the rest of the card, Ethan James lost to Owen Cooper in the English welterweight title clash, and Ezra Taylor went to 8-0, beating Prince Okonate in that particular fight. So that brings an end to the coverage of last weekend's fights and gives me an opportunity, as we come to the end of the show, just to do a little bit of housekeeping as always, guys. So, as I've said for the past few weeks, if you haven't tuned into the latest series of Legendary Nights, please do go and check out the Legendary Nights Season 4, 10 episodes, 10 legendary stories. Do go back and listen to the show. Career Profiles is returning. I know I've been saying it for a few episodes now. I'm just keeping it on the radar of everybody because it will be returning very, very soon with some absolutely fantastic episodes, and I can't wait to be dropping them. Of course, Jamie, it will be your first delve into the world of storytelling with the BTR Boxing Podcast Network. So I'm really excited to be doing this with you and telling the stories of some of the greatest fighters and greatest minds of all time in the other sport. So please, guys, if you haven't already subscribed to the Career Profiles podcast feed, please go and do it. They will be dropping on this main feed as well, but please go and subscribe on there and you will see all the episodes that we've put out on there. And if you haven't listened to them all, do go back and look at the feed, because there are around 48 episodes there. And I still get comments today on different social media platforms to say, oh, I don't remember this one being released, or I haven't seen that, or have you done an episode on Nigel Benn, for example? And I'll go, yeah, we have. We've done something. So if you haven't looked through the feed yet to see what we've actually done and what the body of work is, go and check it out, because there's some great episodes already out there. If you are subscribing to us on Spotify, it'd be a good opportunity to comment below in the box to let us know what you think of the episode and let us know what you think about our comments on certain fights and fighters and things moving forward within the sport. So please do take the opportunity to comment on there because it is really appreciated. And I want to thank everybody that does comment on there because it is really great to see all your comments coming out. Big thank you goes out to the patrons of the podcast as well for subscribing to us through patreon.com. Thank you so much for supporting us and continuing to support us as we look to release a new series in Career Profiles. You'll be getting access to those episodes early, of course. They'll all be ad-free, as are all the other episodes on there as well. But that is it for this episode. Big thanks to everybody for listening to the show, as always. We will be back later this week with a big fight preview and another episode of Shooting the Breeze. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the BTR Boxing Podcast Network.
Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.